Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that this broadcast will be a blessing and an encouragement to your heart. I ask that you please listen to me as I go through this scripture that God has given me to share with you. For truly I believe that we are in a time in our country and in the church age that is very relevant to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that we should be ready and know the signs of the time and the things that are around us. And I ask that you listen completely to this broadcast because God has given me a message for the United States and for the church. We need to hear what God has said. We know that the time is rapidly approaching, that many of the prophecies in God's Word are being fulfilled right now in our time. We're seeing them unfold right before us. We know that the coming of the Lord is right at hand. We know that also the coming of the Antichrist is right at hand. We also know that the rapture of the church is right at hand and we must be ready. But we also need to heed the warning to those that are not ready for that day and hour that they need to be ready. We also know that by looking back into God's history and God's Word, we can see the fulfilling of the future plans that He has also had for us. We can learn from those that have gone before us and the things that they've done, see what happened to them, and look and see that if we do the same thing will occur in our lives. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So I ask that you please listen, stay for the whole entirety of this broadcast. And I know that God will bless you and God will take this word and give you hope and encouragement. I truly believe there is hope for America. I truly believe there's hope for revival in our churches. But we who are God's people must turn from our wicked ways, must repent and call on God. And God said if we would do that, that He would hear from heaven and that He would heal our land. And truly our land needs to be healed. There's a remedy for all of this. Go back to church, get on your knees and pray. Go to God's house. If ever there was a time that Christians support the church, it should be now. If ever there was a time we humble ourselves before God, it is now. If ever there was a time that we pray, it is now. For the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we will pray, God will turn the tide in our country, but we must join together in one mind and one accord. And now I'd like to pray with you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I ask that you go out across these airways to all that are listening to this broadcast. I ask, God, that you reach down and stir and revive our hearts again. Send revival to our land, O God. For I know, Lord, that we're in the end time in the last days. Let your children stand up with boldness and courage and proclaim the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there's no other way unto God the Father except through Jesus. There's no other way that sins can be forgiven except through the shed blood of Jesus. There is no way that we can enter into heaven unless we have first been born again. I pray, Father, that you make your word real to us. Those that are bound by Satan as they listen, God, I ask that you reach down and miraculously deliver them. Those that need healing in their body, I ask that you give them a miracle, God, and heal their bodies and make them whole. I pray for our leaders of our state, of our cities, of our counties, of our nation, and ask God that you turn their hearts back to you and bring revival into the judicial system of our land and the leadership of our land. And we thank you for your mercy that you have shown to us and your long suffering that you have bestowed upon America. I ask God that you reach down this day and bless America, bless her people. And I pray, Father, on this day, and I ask, Father, that you receive our praise. Receive, O God, that we rejoice in you and receive our praise, and we glorify your name in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'd like to read out of the book of Daniel, the 5th chapter, starting with verse 1. And this is talking about a drunken party. I want you to think on this phrase here just for quite a while, a drunken party. I want to know, do you know of any parties that seem to be drunk, not intoxicated with alcoholism, but drunk on power struggles, drunk on everything but doing right for the people, selfishness, self-gain, a drunken party. That's what was happening in the scripture. A king was having it. You say, well, he was high up and he couldn't be touched. Let me tell you something. You're not in any place today that the hand of God can't touch you. You might think you high up. You might think you are indispensable. You might think that you have it made. But let me tell you something. None of us are at the place that God can't reach out and touch us. And the only way that we can be exalted, God will exalt who He wants to, but He also abases who He wants to. Verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princesses, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were brought out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princesses, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick of the plaster of the wall and the king of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers of the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a gold chain about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, so that the lords were astonished. Now in this time, in God's word, God's people had been bought into captivity in Babylon, and God said they would be in captivity for 70 years. Because they had rejected God's word and they refused the hand of God of protection over them. Anytime a nation or a person or individual or clan, family, state, whatever, rejects God, they reject God's hand of protection over them and over their nation. I want you to know this, and I want you to know it for a fact. If a nation rejects God, they reject His protection and they reject His mercy that He sheds upon them. And that's what had happened to Israel. And any time that you reject God, you're headed straight for captivity. Any time you reject God, you're headed for captivity, you're headed for bondage. Any time you reject God, you're headed for captivity and you're headed for bondage. That's not me saying it. You can read history, you can go over it, and you will find out that's a principle, that's a law. It happens every time. Now, Babylon just wasn't any city. This was a great, great city. We are told that the walls of that city was 108 feet thick, and they were 417 feet high. They had 250 guard houses around it. It was three to four stories high. There were 100 brazen gates in the city. It was said that four chariots could run abreast on the wall of the city. And the banquet hall that Belshazzar had this party in was 60 by 172 feet. And their chapel, which housed their god Baal, was made of marble. He was 40 foot high and was overlaid with gold. Now let me tell you something. This was a magnificent city with great walled cities. great wall around the city. And not only did it have a great wall around it, but around that wall was a moat. So it was impossible, they thought, for any enemy to come in and to overthrow them. It was a city they thought was impassable to any enemy. And even while Belshazzar was having this party, their enemy, his enemies were camped on the outside of the city, but it did not faze him because he had no fear of them because of his great walled city. And he had taken captive, God's people had taken captive, they had been brought in before him, and he came in to rule, and God's people were in captivity, and he thought because God's people were held in bondage that he could desecrate and mock their God, and that's exactly what he did. During the middle of this so-called party he had, he called for the people to go in and get the sacred vessels that was taken out of the temple of Jerusalem to be brought into his drunken party. And he was going to desecrate them by letting all of his drunken friends and wives and concubines drink out of them. And while they drank out of the vessels of God, they praised their gods of gold, of silver, of iron, of stone. I want you to really, really think about what he done that night. He thought because of he was in the position he was in this great party, that he could desecrate God and the vessels of God and get away with it. And he praised the gods of gold and silver and iron and wood. He thought that over the God of the universe who created the whole world. And he praised the God of gold and silver. That was more important to him. He had no regard for God. He was in a drunken party. And the Bible says that while the party was going on and they were all together having this great, a free-for-all, and they were all in a drunken state. And in the Bible specifically says, in the same hour. Now this was in the same hour that they were all desecrating God's vessels and blaspheming God's name. And this is in the same hour that all of this was going on, but it was another hour in this as well. This was the time was up for God's people to come out of captivity. In other words, it was time for God's people to be delivered out of bondage. Not only was this the time that Belshazzar was having this party, but it was also the time on God's prophetic clock that God's people were to come out of bondage. Isn't it strange that at the time of God's deliverance for his people, God wrote on the wall of the drunken party? Let me tell you something. You can look at that and you can see where we are today. It is time for God's people to be delivered. Soon and very soon, the rapture of the church is getting ready to take place. And this world is in a drunken party. And our country is being led by drunken parties that is mocking and desecrating the things of Lord God Almighty. And let me tell you something. The same thing that happened that night is getting ready to happen in our country. You get your Bibles down, people, and you read what I just read. And you compare it and compel, just put it side by side with what's happening in our country. And you just wait and see. If you don't believe it, you just wait and see if the same things don't happen in our time that happened in Belshazzar's time. See, Belshazzar's father or grandfather is interpreted. He had an experience with God. And he put these vessels away. He would not have them desecrated. But you know what? The ones come up under after him, they forgot what had happened in the past. And that's what's happened in our country. We've forgotten what our country was founded on. We've forgotten what our Constitution has been founded on, and everybody now is wanting to change it and come into a socialistic government rooted in communism and denying the things of God and making a stand against Jesus. Don't even want to have Christmas. Don't even want to say Christmas because we don't even want to name the name of Jesus. You can name any name you want to, but you can't name the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, go ahead and drink your drinks. Go ahead and throw your wild parties. Let me tell you, there's a payday coming Sunday, and I warn you with all the love in my heart that it is not God's will that any man perish, but he wants them all to come unto salvation. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. It's not too late. But in this party, something happened. Right at the height of their blaspheming, right at the height of their so-called partying, right at the height of their popularity, right at the height of their big city, right at the height of their so-called protection, something happened that no one counted on. God showed up. You know, God didn't have to show his whole self. He just showed his hand. And his hand just showing up shook them so to the core that the Bible says it frightened this king so bad that his knees began to smite once against another, and his countenance, it scared him senseless. And all God did was just put his hand on the wall and write something. You know, people think they're really big and mighty, but the hand of God just showed up and turned the tide that night. And God wrote against the wall. But no one in the kingdom could interpret the writing on the wall. Belshazzar, the party stopped. The party ceased. The party come to an end. The party quit. And Belshazzar called for all his soothsayers and all his wise men and all the councils and all the committees that we would call in today and want to know, what does this mean? You know, the world, they don't know what God's writing is. It can only be interpreted through the Spirit of God. And when you reject the Spirit of God, you can't interpret God's Word. That's the reason we have so many churches today that are producing humanism and coexisting and trying to mix the Koran in with the Bible. All we've got is a watered-down mess. So let me tell you something. You better be careful, because it's going to lead to a destruction. Just as it did this night, it's going to lead to the same thing in our country. And not only our country, but any nation that rejects and mocks God. And he called for his soothsayers and he called for the wise men. But you know what? Nobody could interpret the dream. Nobody could interpret the handwriting on the wall. Nobody could tell him what these words meant. And the old queen mother, she came in and she remembered. She remembered one in the kingdom that had been bought up out of Israel. When Israel was taken into captivity, one who had stood faithful to his God through this whole time, one that never backed down, one that always made a stand, his name was Daniel. And at this time, Daniel was an old man. At this time, Daniel had been in captivity all of his life. He was brought into Babylon as a young boy, but through it all, he stood for God. Through it all, he never backed down. Through it all, he never quit. But you know, in the time of disaster, in the time when a nation really needed an answer, they called for the one that they knew could give them the answer. And Daniel came in, and Belshazzar told him, said, "Listen, if you can tell me what this writing is, I'll give you a third. I'll let you be a rule over a third part of this kingdom. I'll give you a scarlet robe, and I'll put a gold chain around your neck." And Daniel said, "Oh, King, let me tell you." He said, "Let your gifts be to another. I don't want them." In other words, what good is a gold chain and a scarlet robe and a kingdom that is not going to stand? Let me tell you, people, you need to know where you're putting your treasures. You see, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. And if your treasure's in the gods of gold and silver and iron and wood, you're going to come to a defeat. But if your treasure's in God, you're going to be able to stand no matter what comes across this land. And Daniel gave him the interpretation of that handwriting on the wall. And this is what Daniel said. Daniel said, "King," he said, "God has said this." Said you've been weighed in the scales and you come up wanting. In other words, you don't weigh enough in God's sight. You've neglected God, you've blasphemed God, you've made fun of God, and you've desecrated the things of God. I was watching flipping through the channels the other day and come across a little cartoon. They had on TV some kind of cartoon show they had, and they had a little kid on a makeshift cross mocking Jesus Christ and everybody laughing about it. Woe unto you. You better be careful how you mock God, because one day you're going to look up and there's going to be a handwriting on your wall. Don't think it's not coming, because it is. He said, you've been weighed in God's scales, and you don't weigh enough. He said, you're lacking. And he said, this night your kingdom is going to fall. This night your kingdom's going to fall. But let me tell you something. How could this kingdom fall? It was such a great city. It had great walls around it. It had this big moat. It had chariots. It had great warriors. How could any enemy get in? But you know what? You know how the enemy got into Babylon, and Babylon did fall that night. The enemy did come in, and Belshazzar was killed that night, and his kingdom was destroyed that night and taken over by another country. You know how they done it? You know how the enemy got in? They got in through the tunnels under the foundation, through the water system. You see, they had the high buildings and they had the high walls, but they neglected the foundation. They forgot about the foundation. Anybody knows that you can't build a house on any kind of ground. You've got to have a good foundation. If you neglect the foundation, your house is going to fall. Today in America, we're building on things that are not a good foundation. And if you don't build on that solid foundation, which is God's Word, it's going to fall. And as I was going over this scripture, God gave me this prophecy. And I want you to listen very carefully, people, because this is what God is saying to America. As God wrote in the time of Belshazzar and he told him what was going to happen, God is going to write again. God is not mocked. God has suffered many things of the American people. The American people and the leaders of this country have spit in the face of God Almighty. They have taken His commandments down. They have rejected Him. They have cast Him out of the Congress. They've cast Him out of the Senate. They cast Him out of the schoolhouse. They don't want any part of the name of Jesus Christ. They have taken His name down out of everything. But let me tell you something. There's a payday someday. Belshazzar thought he had it made. He thought it couldn't be reached, but this is what happened. God said this. God said, I will write again. I will write in Congress, the House of Representatives, Senate. I will write in the White House. I will write in the Supreme Court judges' chambers. I will write in the abortion clinics. And I will write on all Hollywood screens. I hold their breath in my hand that I will write with, and I will show them the same mercy that they have shown the innocent in their mother's wombs. Tell them not to call on their hirelings to interpretate nor their educated soothsayers, or the Ahab era will find them as it did with that wicked man. Only true repentance and godly sorrow and a turning away from evil will save them. Tell them to beware, their enemies are already in their tunnels, and they are camped on the outside of their city. Tell them that I am not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that thus shall he also reap. Let me tell you, people, God is not playing. God is not to be mocked. God is telling us to be ready, get ready, because judgment is getting ready to come on America if America don't repent. Everybody thinks they have shut the door on God. They're not going to let Him in the Senate, not going to let Him in the Congress, not going to let Him in the abortion clinics, not going to let Him here. But God's hand can reach anywhere and it will not be stopped. But I beg of you to be ready. I beg of you to repent of your sins. I beg of you to honor God and respect His house. I beg of you to seek His face while He may still be found. I beg of you to turn from your wicked ways. I beg of you to go back to church. I beg of you to get down on your knees and pray. I beg of you to go to church, get down on your knees, and pray. That's the remedy that God can turn our nation round in a heartbeat. We live in a wonderful country. We live in a wonderful land. And despite all this that's going on in our land, despite all of this bad stuff that we see, God has mighty men and women that are standing in the gap of America and are joining together and believing Him for a revival. And we want you to join in with us. Stand with us. And if you can write me and say, Blonnie, I'm going to join in with you and I'm going to pray for our country. You know, we may be small, but we're going to give it our all. And God takes us the things that man seems to be small and insignificant, but God will take it and bless it. And God will feed a multitude with it, just like He did on the mountain that day with the two fish and the five small barley loaves. When it's given into God's hand, God can take little and make much out of it. Today, we've got to stand for the truth. Today, we've got to stand on God's Word. Today, we've got to make our voices heard. God is still the God of America. We are still one nation under God. We can't back off of that. We can't quit. And we can't give in. Because the moment you deny God is the moment you're being led into captivity and you're being led into slavery. And it's coming on our country quickly. But it can be stopped if we, God's people, will go forth in the love of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel of salvation, preaching the baptism of God's Word, and be faithful to serve Him with our whole heart. God will use us. Lord, I thank You for my congregation today. Take this broadcast and send it across this land. Take this broadcast and stir hearts and make people's hearts ready for Your soon return. Lord, let men and women pray now to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, knowing that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Thank You for Your mercy and Your goodness. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. I want to thank you for listening in to the broadcast today. Please hold me up in prayer as I go across this country, coast to coast, preaching the gospel. Believe in God for signs and wonders and miracles. People, it's not too late, but we need to go back to church. We need to get out on our knees, and we need to pray. Start today. Serve God with your whole heart. God has ordained over His people peace. God will give us peace, and God will give us rest. But we must receive it. Thank you so much for listening, and I pray you have a blessed and a marvelous day in Jesus. Keep on looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. God bless you, and thank you for listening.